Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Well, Denise, we're already at the end of another month so quickly. Mm-hmm. And already next week is the Poppies Festival at the Museum of Archaeology on Trans Mountain. That's again happening on Saturday, April 2nd, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And you can park for free at the Trans Mountain campus at EPCC. There's a free shuttle to and from the event. And there's going to be a lot of terrific events like nature tours, live music, educational exhibits, the live wolf, hawks, wildlife displays. It's going to be pretty amazing, happening next week, with also a special guest talk by Congressman Beto O'Rourke. He'll be there as well. The Poppies Festival is next week, again, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday, April 2nd at the Museum of Archaeology. And last week, we were talking about vegetables on the show. And we didn't quite have enough time to talk about the demonstration garden that's at Azcárate Park. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Sure. So the Master Gardeners have a teaching and demonstration garden at Azcárate. And they're out there twice a week, Monday and Thursday mornings. And that's their regular gardening days. So they're out there working, preparing the beds, getting them ready to be able to be a showpiece for the community. If you have questions, make sure you stop by and visit with them. We have a combination of master gardeners and as well as master gardener interns that are putting their time in the gardens this year. Stop by and take a look at the signage that they have out there. It tells you exactly which type of vegetable are growing and when they were planted and how many days it's going to take to start getting a harvest off of them. So stop by and visit with them. We also will hold periodic series of educational events out in the garden as well. There's a large shaded area where they kind of hold like small informal hands-on demonstrations where they talk about certain topics. And if you plan your cards right, you may see some of the expansion going on at the garden itself. So they're looking into putting in some other types of raised beds as well as some fruit trees and getting all of that irrigation ready. So if you have any questions from irrigation to anything edible, make sure that you stop by the Azcárate Garden on Monday and Thursday mornings.
And that's usually from about 8 to 11.
Yeah, and they'll usually get there a little earlier as the warmer weather comes along.
Yeah.
But you can definitely find them there from 8 to 11 during the wintertime.
And that's at Azcárate Park on Delta. So that's a pretty exciting venture that the Master Gardeners have going on.
Yes, exactly. The garden is starting its fifth year, and it's really done a lot of evolution since its inception. So it's definitely a showpiece. There's only one of these teaching gardens in El Paso that's strictly there for teaching and demonstration. There's a lot of other community gardens in town, and those are either on school campuses or on private property or places of worship, and they all have a different mission. And this mission is unique because it's strictly for educational purposes.
And another thing that the Master Gardeners are working on, I know you guys have always like little experiments going on, so that once you get it going, you can start sharing what you learn with the public. And you were telling me right before the show, we're actually going to focus this show on vermicomposting. And before we give you a quiz, vermicomposting actually means composting with worms. So tell us a little bit how that got started with the Master Gardeners.
Definitely. So the Master Gardeners and all of their gardens have active composting bins. And this is, you know, a large scale thing. They have bins that they have to turn and keep maintaining so they can feed that organic matter or that compost that comes out into the garden beds. And we thought, well, would it be a nice way for people that maybe don't have the space or the inclination or the time or the physical ability to compost on a larger scale, but wanted to still do something to recycle their food scraps? And as you know, we're able to recycle in El Paso. So we have our, you know, our blue bins on one end, and then we have our trash on the other. And if you kind of look at what goes into the trash, there's a lot of food scraps that can be broken down and composted and given back to your garden beds. And we thought, well, let's try vermicomposting. So the Master Gardeners and the Master Naturalists came together, and we decided to have a vermicomposting bin in our office, believe it or not, in our extension office. And we thought, let's try to simulate this as best as someone would have it at home. So extension agents survive on coffee. So there's always a lot of coffee grounds in our office. And then all of our fruit scraps, our peels, and all of that.
Because you're also very healthy eaters.
Because we have a lot of, exactly, and we're, you know, in our office, and we're eating all of this fruit and coffee. And then we have paper. So we use our shredded paper in our office and, you know, kind of using all those sources that came together to see how can we sustain this? How can we mimic somebody at home with limited outdoor space and have this worm compost, you know, this vermicomposting project going? So we used an old recycled tote that you would kind of use to kind of store kind of items in your garage, like a 5-gallon tote with a nice lid on there.
Like the kind of stuff that when you're, it's after Christmas and those totes always go on sale, like put your Christmas decorations here.
Exactly. Uh-huh. So we have that. We found one in the office and then we decided we're going to go ahead and use that. And it was a perfect container to be able, because you can also mask it so people don't realize you're in the office. They just think there's office supplies in there. For people that may have the heebie-jeebies when it comes to worms. So really what we did was we used that and then we drilled some little holes, about 1/8 inch, our smallest drill bit that we could find, and drilled some holes all around the actual bin itself. We did put some holes in the bottom of the bin, but we want to make sure that you, if you do this at home, you have a little liner or a catch so that in case the water drips out of the bin itself, you don't want to ruin your carpet mm-hmm. or make a mess on your tile. So we did, we used that, and then we realized that we had to get our vermicomposting bedding, if you will, set up for the worms. And what we did is we used different layers of paper. Not any kind of newspaper is great, or shredded paper is great. Just stay away from any of the glossy type papers like you would get
in your magazines and
magazines
stuff.
Or any of your advertisements that kind mm-hmm. of come embedded into your Sunday paper. Throw those away, but get all your shredded newspaper on there and then add a layer of about 2 inches of sand or soil. And then keep on doing this, what they call a lasagna. So they kind of do this different layer.
Paper, soil.
Exactly. And the paper's going to be wet, like if you're going to do an arts and crafts project. So it's going to be the consistency of like a wrung out sponge.
Okay.
So not super dry, but then not kind of sloppy wet. And what you want to do is you want to make sure and create all of these layers. You want to do that before the worms come in. And what we did is we purchased the worms online. And the best worms to be able to use for this vermicomposting is going to be the red wiggler worms. So take a look online is where we found ours, and they send them over to you in 1 or 2 day business day trips because they're live animals, and they come in this little nice little green little sack of 2,000 worms. We didn't count them.
Wow.
Yeah, we didn't count them, but the 2 pounds of worms was 2,000 individual worms. And they really have to be planted. Here, I'm talking about plants.
Plant the worms in the dirt.
So we want to make sure they put the worms into the bin very quickly because they are perishable. And that's the reason why you want to get your vermicomposting bin set up ahead of time, a couple of days before that.
I was reading you can get started with as few as 2 worms.
Yes.
So if you get really squeamish, maybe you're not that squeamish about worms, but maybe 2,000 worms might be a little too much to handle.
Right, exactly.
Start with a handful,
exactly. And it's true because, ultimately what these worms are going to do are going to be reproducing. So definitely if you have even a small little handful of worms, you can certainly start another bin. And mm-hmm. just in case if you have some casualties that may not make it, if you have a few worms, your vermicomposting is still going to be a viable project. So we got the worms, put them in there, and they're growing. They're multiplying.
Ah.
And our estimates is...
Do you feel like Frankenstein? It's alive!
Yeah, it's alive! Right? So check them, and we kind of peel back the top layer of the bedding every so often, and they're out there working their magic. And the thing about the red wigglers is they're strictly a feed on dead material. So, they're going to be true composters in that sense. And what we do is we kind of check on them, and if we need to water and spray bottle that moisture to keep that moisture level a little bit higher, we'll do that. But for the most part, they're not a big hassle. They don't really disturb anything of your entire system. They're just working their thing, breaking down all of that scraps that you would throw away otherwise.
And so we want to also distinguish the fact that these red wigglers are not earthworms. Earthworms are not quite as productive when it comes to making this compost.
Right, exactly. And a lot of questions that we get are, can I get those night crawlers that are sold at sports stores that are used for bait? And, you know, and everything that we read on vermicomposting, they're not the ideal worms to be able to use. And but the red wigglers are because of their composting abilities. So it's really a great little project, and we hope to use that as an educational tool to be able to take out for school projects. And if anybody's interested in doing their own vermicomposting at home, they can certainly are able to do that. But I think one thing people are kind of interested in is like, okay, well, the worms are going to break down and create, you know, this organic matter, and then what do I use it for? How can I use it in my garden bed? And it's really not going to be something that you're going to get a large volume of compost for. You're going to have to just, you know, really have a prized possession of small compost that you're going to be able to take out.
It's great for potted plants, though, right? And people have a lot of patio plants.
Yeah, it's definitely good. Any kind of organic matter is good for any kind of plants. But when you start harvesting your worms and taking away that compost, you can certainly make a compost tea out of that. And that's really just kind of steeping the actual compost that come out of your bin itself, and, you know, wrapping it into cheesecloth, and then let it sit into your watering can for several hours. Sometimes folks do it overnight as well. And then using that tea or that concentrated nutrient solution directly into your bed or starting your plants or even for as little supplemental fertilizer for that. So there's, you know, pros and cons to both composting and vermicomposting. This is a really great way for people that may not have a lot of outdoor space, but still want to be able to break down and reuse their kitchen scraps for a good purpose.
And one thing you don't want to do is leave that little composting bin with your worms outdoors all the time, because they're very finicky as to the temperatures that they'll survive, right? The highest temperatures they can survive in is like 77 degrees. And obviously, it's not ideal in our summertime temperatures.
Right, exactly. We have seen some vermicomposting bins in Arizona, and they actually have them in insulated areas. And for us, we really want to concentrate on that as going to be like an indoor alternative because, yes, they will not make it out there. So for us, that, you know, kitchen, under the kitchen sink
or laundry
in the office,
room, garage.
Exactly.
Somewhere that's kind of out of the way. Temperatures are pretty steady.
Exactly. Exactly. And then that way, it's out of your kitchen and out down the way. Just make sure you have a little bowl of kitchen scraps that you want to make sure to compost. And the smaller the pieces, the better. Like, you don't want to throw like a huge banana peel on there and then just let the worms do, you know, kind of help them out a little bit.
The worm's going to be like, oh my God, a whole banana peel. All right, let's go.
Exactly.
Now, the things that you don't want to throw in the compost pile, like dairy, meat, right, cheese.
The same thing that we always recommend with composting bins. No animal waste, no fats, no cheese, no meats, fats, nothing like that. Stay clear of that. Do not put it into your vermicomposting or your composting bin, for that matter.
Well, we ran out of time to talk about worms today, but there's a really terrific Extension publication that I'm going to go ahead and post a link to on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. It covers all the information we've talked about and a whole lot more into detail, including an interesting recipe on how to make that compost tea.
Right.
I'll have that on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org, and maybe your little experiment will start to spread across the city,
right,
and we'll see a lot of vermicomposting taking place across El Paso. Again, if you have any information or if you have any questions about what we've talked about, you can always call the Master Gardener Hotline at 771-2354, 771-2354. We want to thank Evan Walsh for engineering and producing today's show. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.